Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. You know, as I was preparing to preach on this gospel reading today, brought back memories of fishing. Like my grandfather would take me to Canada. We would go north of Toronto, up to Bob Cajun in Peterborough with the Kawartha Lakes. We fished on Pigeon Lake, and there was a old rustic triple wood lodge where we would stay. And it was glorious. The air was fresh. Mornings we'd get up early to go fishing, and there was mother's oats with a little cinnamon and brown sugar, and then a couple eggs with Canadian bacon. Oh, it was just awesome. Some hot black coffee, and we went out fishing. And oh, the lake was gorgeous. There was cattails. There was beautiful, and the fishing was wonderful. Fish for muskies or pickerel or bass, and it was just a great, especially in the late 50s and early 60s. You get into the 70s, and they started having motor boats and skiing, and the fishing went downhill. But before that, it was glorious. Then in the evening, when the sun was setting, you'd hear the loons on the lake. And, you know, it really didn't matter if you really caught something or not. It was just gorgeous being out there with grandfather and his friend Gene Pander in the boat, hearing the loons, and just taking in God's glorious reality of creation. Sometimes you might see a moose, sometimes a bobcat. It was just wonderful. Well, today we hear about fishing also, but a different type of fishing. And this type of fishing is not just a story back 2,000 years ago. This story includes you and me. It's about fishing for people, fishing in the Sea of Galilee. And when they fished, like when we used to fish, it would be, you know, your cast or your troll, and, you know, or the bobber, but maybe put a worm on it, get a, you know, sunfish. But when they fished, it was different. They had this big net, and it had weights on it. So what you do, where you think the fish, where you toss this big net over, and his weights would bring it down over the fish, and they'd have a cord you'd pull. Then they'd take this big net and put it in the boat and get the fish. It was hard work. It was back-breaking work. But Peter Simon was fishing all night and didn't catch anything. He had to be pretty exhausted, you'd think, fishing all night. And then Jesus comes along. And Jesus, notice, goes with him. Jesus goes with him. Jesus enters the picture and enters the boat and enters Simon's life. And not for the first time. You read Luke's gospel, he was there at Capernaum at Simon's house. He cured Simon's mother-in-law. So I always say, if Peter was the first pope, he was married, because to have a mother-in-law, you usually have a wife, right, to go with the mother-in-law. I don't think you just have a mother-in-law for the heck of it, but, you know, Peter was married. But even with this experience, Simon was going back to the same old, fishing again. Ever happened to you? You're inspired, you come to church, you hear some beautiful hymns, you have some prayers, you hear the word of God, and you say, "Ah, yes, I feel Jesus in my life." And you feel inspired by that, and you go out with the gospel of Jesus, but then the person pulls out in front of you on 19 and goes 2 miles an hour. You watch the news. You hear a comment that you didn't like. And suddenly, that inspiration leaves. I mean, it's nice to be inspired. I mean, at the gym I go to, usually January, February, March, it's packed. Then comes April, May, and there's more chance to get a locker, you know, because those New Year's resolutions don't last too long. So you go back to the same old, same old. I mean, how many of you are keeping those New Year's resolutions? I mean, I have to confess, I'm not. You know, I forget what they were, but, you know, it happens. But notice today's reading. Jesus entered the boat, and they go back out. You go back out like to your job or whatever. And Simon was going back out to his job, but Jesus was with him. And Simon, well, you know, I can imagine he's thinking, well, you know, this Jesus, he's a great preacher. But he's a carpenter. He's not a fisherman. But the amazing thing is he says, no, okay, if you say so, I'll do it. And that isn't so difficult to understand. I mean, you know, we're practical people. We hear the Sermon on the Mount, we hear love your enemies, or we hear in church, you know, do to the least of these my brothers and sisters. But, you know, we're practical. We're saying, you know, that's nice in church. It's nice ideals, but it doesn't work in real life. It doesn't work in our life because, you know, remember that old farmer's commercial for insurance? We've seen a few things. We know a few things. So what we hear Jesus tell us today, it's wonderful and inspiring. I mean, wow, this is great. Great news. But then, again, we go out there and you kind of get beat up a little bit and you get a little anxious and somebody says that nasty word to you and the same old, same old. And we tend to leave Jesus behind. We leave him in church. We leave him in the Bible. But we don't take him to the Super Bowl party. We don't take him to our job the next day. You know, we don't take him to our family reunion. And when Uncle Joe starts talking politically different than we do, when we get an argument with him, we don't take him there. Because sometimes we act as if Easter didn't happen. That if God didn't raise Jesus from the dead, that Jesus is with us 24/7, whether we are conscious of it or not, whether we acknowledge it or not, it's true. Jesus is with us and he loves us and he's here. And when Peter acknowledges that Jesus is there, look what happens. What happens? A night when he caught nothing except a sore back and some sweat, he catches so many fish that his boat's going to sink, and then he calls other boats to help, and their boats start to sink because there's so many fish because Jesus is with him. There's with God, there is abundance. There's never scarcity, as if, you know, we get scared. Oh, we don't have enough of this, enough of that. Baloney! We have enough. We have more than enough in Jesus Christ. Beyond our wildest dreams. And nets are filled with fish to the breaking point. Boats are filled to the sinking point. And Jesus hooked Simon. Simon was caught. He was gripped by Jesus and the good news. Not only prayers and words, but he saw it. He saw the abundant life with the fish there. And the gospel happened for him. And we can tell there was a change. Because what does Luke call Simon now? Simon Peter. There's a change in name. Whenever you see a change of name in the Bible, you know God is working in a special way. You know, you go, yet Abram became Abraham. Sarai became Sarah. Saul, the persecutor of the church, became Paul, the great apostle. There was a transformation that took place. And when Jesus hooks you, you become real. You don't view other people as enemies or people that are in need as challenges. You don't fear that if you give money, they're not worthy. No, they are worthy. They're your brothers and sisters in this country and in all over the world. Wherever there's a need, that's your neighbor in need. That God wants you to care for. And Simon Peter knew who he really was. And Simon Peter fell on his knees. And he said, holy smoke. No, Lord, you are glorious. The glory and the love and the power and the Shekinah of God was there before Peter. And he said, I'm unworthy. When you think how wonderful God is and you experience the power of God in your life, I mean, I'm not worthy. It's by God's grace alone that I am what I am and I do what I do, like St. Paul says in our second reading. Illusions are games. Oh, I'm pastor, you're just a parishioner. Blah, blah, blah. No, all those things fall apart. We're all in the same boat. We're recovering sinners. Only by the grace of God do we have the joy in life. Only by the grace of God do I take another breath. It's all grace. It's all grace of God. And our posturings and our masks and our false selves fall away and our being stuck in the past goes away. Because we can always, whenever we fall, turn back to our baptism, turn back to Jesus, turn back and know healing and love and forgiveness, just like Jesus putting us in his arms, like we talked about last week, Simeon, and loving us and cuddling us and saying, I love you. I love you 1,000 billion times more than you know. I love you. You know, there's a wonderful author I like to read, Tony Campolo. He's a Baptist pastor, but he's a great Christian writer. And I saw him a few times, once at Chautauqua, once at our Synod Assembly. He was there. Great speaker. And he tells a story about a young woman named Nancy. And Nancy was physically challenged. She was paralyzed from the waist down, and she was in a wheelchair. And she had an extraordinary ministry. She was catching people. In the classified ads in the paper, she wrote, if you are lonely or have a problem, call me. I am in a wheelchair and I seldom get out. We can share our problems with each other. I love to talk. She was hooked by Jesus Christ, and she was hooking other people with the good news. And sometimes she'd have as many as 30 people a week calling her just to talk and share and have somebody listen to them, acknowledge that they're a human being, that they had worth. And she would then spend most of her day on the phone. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, the phone calls became sharing God's story and her story with the other person's story. And she made friends that way. When Campolo asked how she came to be confined to a wheelchair, she revealed that she was so goofed up in her life, so confused, so depressed, that she jumped off the balcony in her apartment trying to kill herself, but instead survived and was paralyzed from the waist down. And then she told Campolo this. She said, one night I was praying. I was against the wall. And Jesus came to me and he very clearly said to me, you had a healthy body and a crippled soul. But this day, from this day on, you will have a crippled body, but you will have a healthy soul. She said, I gave my life to Jesus that night in the hospital room. And I knew that I was to keep a healthy soul by sharing the good news with others. She became a fisher of people. And Nancy knew the power of God and was fishing for people, and then her life, even in the wheelchair, could soar, and she could have joy in her heart, joy of knowing she's following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No one, you see, is touched by Jesus that isn't changed, isn't transformed. Nobody is touched by the word and sacrament that you don't know the medicine in your soul and the healing and the strength to share the good news. And worship happens, and souls are affected by the gospel of Jesus, and darkness is affected by the light of God, and we're never the same. Jesus says to us today, do not be afraid. I love you. But you know the person you're looking at, the person you're seeing on the news, the person you're thinking about, the person that some people try to scare you about, I love them too. Go. Fish for people. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.